Amen. You know, as we were doing praise and worship and we were singing that last song about God, there's no wall he wouldn't kick down, you know, coming after me. I was reflecting on how good God has been to me over the years. I mean, you know, Jerry Savelle has this saying that he is God's favorite person. Well, I think there's a new sheriff in town. I think I am God's favorite person. You know, before Glenn passed away, he was pushing me to write a book about all the things that God has done. And I'm not quite there yet, but I am considering it. I mean, it's amazing, you know, what God has done for me. I shouldn't even be standing here. Earlier on today, I was sharing with a friend, you know, years ago when my kids were in school, Matthew wasn't even a blimp on the radar then. I just had two. And I had a doctor's appointment that morning, and I took my kids to school, and I pulled up in my driveway, and it was, I guess, in the fall months or coming early winter. It was cold and drizzly and gray, you know, the kind of weather that you don't want to really be out in. You want to just, you know, crawl up in bed and sleep. And so I pulled up in my driveway, and I was not feeling well at all. And I was thinking, I'm just going to cancel that doctor's appointment. I'm not going. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to go. So I decided, okay, I'm going. And I went. Long story short, the doctor told me, you shouldn't even be walking around. My condition was that grave, and I didn't even know it. And they wanted to clock me in the hospital, and, you know, I begged. I said, you know, I don't have anyone to take my kids up from school. I need to go get my kids. So I went home, called my husband. He was working at Tuskegee at the time. Told him what the doctor said. He said, okay, I'm on the way home. I ran and got the kids, you know, did everything. You know how mothers are. Finally, I went to the hospital, and they clocked me in. And I wasn't very cooperative with the doctors. They wanted to do a blood transfusion and that, and I wouldn't take it. And I was having a really good sleep this, you know, one night. I was in there for a few days. And this nurse came and woke me up at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm assuming it was in the wee hours in the morning, to ask me, why would you take the blood transfusion? Are you Jehovah's Witness? And I was so mad with that nurse. I mean, I was sleeping really good. You know how hard it is to sleep in the hospital? You know, they're always coming to check your pressure and all that stuff. Anyway, long story short, fast forward, I got this charge, and, you know, I had a few run-ins, you know, back with the hospital and doctors and all that again. But the gist of the thing is, I'm standing here today, I'm totally cured, don't have that ailment, you know. God has been good. You know, the enemy was trying to take me out. He's always trying to take us out, but he lost. He lost, and so I'm a testament today of God's goodness. Of course, you know, they were, my church was praying for me and other people. And, you know, God answers prayers, and that's what I'm teaching on tonight. Victory through prayer. So let's go into prayer, short prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness and your mercies, Lord, that are brand new every single morning. Thank you for all the benefits that you load us up with. Thank you, Lord, for always being there for us, for caring for us, you know, for climbing after mountains if you have to, for kicking down doors to rescue us. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just give you praise, honor, and glory for your goodness and your mercies. Lord, as I get ready to teach this lesson, Lord, I yield myself to you. I yield everything, and I ask, Lord, that you will flow through me. I ask that you would anoint this lesson and cause it to go forth and fall on the ears of people who really need to know how important prayer is and how effective it can be in giving them victory over the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is lesson 3. The last 2 Wednesdays we did teach on prayer. And we, you know, I emphasize how important prayer is to us Christians if we're going to be victorious over the enemy. You know, if you're a Christian and you're not praying, you're the type of Christian that Satan loves. He's not afraid of you. You don't have no power. You know, you're not messing up anything in his kingdom. But when you're praying, you're a threat to Satan. I mean, a major threat. He's afraid of Christians who pray. And so we're going to look at a few examples. We did in one of the lessons, but this is just a quick run through. Old Testament characters like Daniel, David, Hannah, and Jacob, among others. You know, we see how they prayed, God heard, delivered, and honored them because they prayed. Daniel was cast into the lion's den. I mean, I can't even imagine what it would be like to be thrown into a den of hungry lions. Oh my God, the very thought of it scares me. But there, you know, he found himself thrown into the lion's den because, you know, his counterparts were envious of him, they were jealous, and the only fault that they could find was in the fact that he was always praying. So they laid this trap, and God delivered him from the den of lions. All of a sudden, the lions weren't hungry. For all we know, he probably looked like one of them. You never know. You know, there's a, I heard this joke about this this lady that you know, she was about to be robbed, either in her house or wherever, and she was trying to remember a verse in Psalms 91 that talks about feathers. You know, and she blanked out. You know, when you're scared, you panic, you don't remember, and all she could say was feathers, 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 feathers. And the guy looked at her and just took off running. You know, and so one day I was thinking about that, and I, you know, the thought came to me, maybe when she said feathers, 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 maybe she started growing some feathers or something. Can you imagine how scary that would be? No wonder he ran. But you know, God has a unique way of delivering us when we pray, when we call upon him. We don't even have to pray correctly. You know, we don't have to take the stance of the posture of being on our knees, which is good. I'm not knocking that. You know, we don't have to say these and thous, you know, and all this Old Testament language. We can just call out to God and he'll hear us. And so God delivered Daniel. Then there was David. He was in all kinds of problems. And when I was coming, I was listening to David Jeremiah, and he was talking about David and his son Absalom. Absalom rebelled, you know, caused all this trouble. And David had to actually go into exile just to save himself. But God delivered David. David prayed. You know, there's never a time when we cannot pray. God delivered David, set him back on his throne. Then there was Hannah. We all know the story. She was childless, couldn't have any babies, and she prayed. And God gave her Samuel, turned out to be a great prophet. Not only did she have Samuel, I think she had others. Can't remember, about four or five, maybe six in all kids. You know. Then there was Jacob. He stole his brother's blessing and had to run from home because his brother was threatening to kill him as soon as the father had passed. And then after a number of years, he was returning home, but he was afraid of his brother. He was afraid that, oh, he's going to kill me. And he prayed, and God turned things around. You know, Esau by then had gotten wealth, and he had no interest in killing his brother. All these people prayed, and God honored their prayers. Fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus himself set the example by praying. He would remove himself. There are times when Jesus would have to remove himself from the crowd, from his disciples, you know, and go away to pray, go into the mountains, go into the gardens, wherever. No, we can take an example from that. Shut everything down. You know, we have too many distractions, and we need to shut them down. You know, we have to do this on purpose. You know, during praise and worship, my phone was, you know, it was vibrating. And as hard as I was trying not to look, there I was, you know, I had to see, you know, who's that, you know. But these, see, we have too many things, you know, vying for our attention. And you know, we have to do what Jesus did and go away from the crowd, go away from the noise, the demands and distractions, turn off our TV, our phones, everything, and commune with our Heavenly Father. Prayer was a constant part of Jesus' life. He prayed all the time. His disciples took notice of him constantly praying, and they asked him to teach them how to pray. They saw the power, they saw the strength, they saw the boldness, they saw the confidence and wisdom that Jesus operated in. And they attributed that to his prayer life, and they wanted it, you know? I used to go to this church years ago, and I had a friend, and she was so on fire for God, and she was so zealous and everything, and I, you know, I envied her. I said, Lord, I need to be like her. You know, it's envy is a bad thing, but you know, when you're envying to be better spiritually, you know, I think that is good. But see, she created that desire inside of me, and I wanted to be like her. Of course, I wasn't her. I couldn't be like her. Our personalities are so different and everything. But you know, she was so bubbly and full of joy, and I'm like, man, I need to be like her. This is what the disciples saw in Jesus. They saw the power. They saw the anointing, they saw the boldness, they saw, you know, the wisdom that flowed through him, and they knew that he was a man of prayer, and they wanted to be like him. So they asked him to teach them how to pray. Imagine that. They're walking with Jesus, and they didn't know how to pray. You know, a lot of times we can come to church, you know, we can go through all the motions and don't know everything. Don't know how to pray. I mean, there were times in my life when certain things I didn't know. I was a Christian. I'll share some of that later on in my lesson. And so he gave them the Lord's Prayer. And up to this day, you know, we pray the Lord's Prayer the exact same way that Jesus gave it, but gave it to disciples. But actually, that was a pattern. Not that it is wrong to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If that's all you know, by all means pray. But it was a pattern. I'm not going to go into that tonight. But Jesus prayed all the time. Luke 9:18, and it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, who do people say that I am? See, he was praying. Then in Matthew 26:36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. He's the Son of God, perfect in all his ways, and still he found it necessary to pray. What makes us think that we can do any less and get away with, you know, without prayer? It's not going to work. Matthew 26:39, and he went a little while beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. See, the burdens of the world was beginning to weigh down on him, so much so that, you know, he prayed and he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me, let it pass. Wasn't possible. It required the life of Jesus, the spotless Son of God, to pay for us. You know, one of the songs that we sang, I think it says, we'll never know how much it costs to see our sin upon that cross. We'll never know what Jesus went through. I mean, we can imagine, and Hollywood could try, you know, we had the Passion of the Cross, is that it? The passion of the Christ. And you know, there were times I couldn't look. I had to hide my face. I come, and you know, it made me realize what a price Jesus paid for me to be able to have a relationship with God, you know, to, you know, we were separated, and it took pure, precious blood of Jesus. We'll never know. In a million years, I don't think we'll never know how much it cost Jesus. No wonder, you know, at a certain time, the Bible said that he, his sweat was like blood. The pressure was so high on him that he sweat blood. Oh my God, that's how much God loves us. But he prayed. In a desperate time, Jesus prayed. Matthew 26:42, he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. You know, that's a hard thing for a lot of us to say, your will be done. I remember when I prayed that prayer, I think the first time in my life, from my heart, and really meant it. I was so scared to say, Lord, your will be done. We were living on Fort Benning. My husband was active duty, and it was probably about 1 o'clock or so, and I was on my knees by my bedside, and I was praying, and I guess the Holy Spirit was, you know, was prompting me to get to that point of surrender. It took me a long time. And when I finally did it, you know, I remember I barely whispered it, yeah, we'll be done. I hoped he didn't hear. But, you know, a lot of times we're not willing to yield our will, you know, to surrender, because we think God is going to do some, you know, some crazy thing, or maybe he'll send us to some strange place we don't want to go. You know, but Jesus was willing, you know, to let God have his way. And he prayed. He said, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. So we see Jesus set the platform for prayer. And if he set it, it's an example that we should follow. Another thing, prayer builds our relationship with God. When we commune with God through prayer, we're actually talking to him, and he wants to hear from us. He's waiting to hear from his children. As parents, you know, I think most of us in here are parents. You know, we wouldn't like it if our children only reach out to us when they want something, when they have a need, or when they're in trouble, or they need some money. That's when they're calling us. That's, you know, that would hurt, wouldn't it? You know, we love it when our children call to say hello, you know, hi, Mom. When was it? I think it was Monday. You know, my son Michael came and asked for my keys. He said, Mom, where are your car keys? And I gave it to him. I figured, yeah, maybe he just wants to run out, because he asked me, when are you going by Miss Diane? And I said, well, I'm leaving, you know, about 10 to 11. Anyway, he was gone for a while, and it was time for me to go. You know, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking, where's this kid? You know, it's time for me to go. But I went out into the living room, you know, through the den, and I looked, and he was vacuuming my car. I didn't ask him. I mean, that touched me. He was vacuuming. He cleaned my car for me. I mean, that was so nice. Isn't it nice when your children just do things for you without you having to ask? You know, God loves it when, you know, we go to him just to tell him that we love him and not constantly asking. You know, sometimes we don't need to be asking God for stuff. Just praise him. Take some time to just praise him. Father, I thank you for what you've done for me. You've been so good to me. You woke me up this morning, got me out of bed. You know, sometimes when I'm in the shower, like this morning, I thank God that I have running water. You know, you see things on TV where people don't have clean water to drink. They're drinking water where cows and stuff is walking. They're washing their clothes in the same dirty water. I mean, I can't even imagine that. We take a lot for granted, you know that? You know, we are too blessed here in this country. That's what I was telling Diane this afternoon. We have so much stuff available to us that we don't know how to trust God anymore. And we feel that we don't need to pray. We don't need to, you know, because we have it. You know, we need God. You know, the air that we breathe comes from him. The breath in our lungs. I think there's a song, the breath in our lungs, it's his, it belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. And so, you know, we need to, you know, communicate with God and build our relationship with him. The more we communicate with him, the more we talk with him, the more we listen, we'll hear, he'll give us direction, you know, we'll see him move, open doors for us, things that looked impossible, God will open doors and make it possible. And it builds our confidence in him. It builds our love for him. You know, we become sensitive to him. We can tell when he's speaking. because, you know, we're his sheep. And in John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If we're sheep, we'll know God's voice. And, you know, because prayers sharpens our hearing, our spiritual ears, so that we're able to hear him. Of course, we have the enemy. He's always that second voice. Have you noticed when you hear, you feel like you hear something from the Holy Spirit, and then there's that other voice, and, you know, then we were thinking, was that God? You know, we're not sure. Is this one, you know, and then we become unsure. But when we are constantly praying, we're constantly talking to God, we're building our relationship with him, you know, we will get to that place where when God speaks, we'll know. The enemy might come and try to confuse us, because that's what he does. But eventually we'll know. One day I was cleaning my room, and the Lord spoke to me. No, that wasn't God. I heard a voice speaking to me about something that I had been praying about. And the way how the voice was speaking, it was so rough. And you know, it wasn't God. As I listened, at first I thought, you know, and as the day went by and I'm meditating on what I heard, I began to realize, wait a minute, God doesn't speak that way. You know, years ago when we had, you know, AOL, how many of you remember AOL, America Online? One of my daughter's friends was online, and I decided I was going to pretend to be her and talk to this friend. So, you know, I said hello, and she said hello, and, you know, and so we're chatting, and you know, later on, you know, I'm telling, I met the girl, and I said, you know, that wasn't really Petal, you know, that was me. And she said, I thought so, because some of the things didn't sound like Petal. How did she know? Because she has a relationship with Petal. She knows the way Petal speaks. She knows some of the things that Petal will say. When we have that relationship with God and God speaks, you know, we'll know his voice because we're a sheep. But Satan will come and try to imitate. You know, that's all he does. He never has anything, you know, original. He always tries to copy. And he'll come and try to, you know, pretend that he is God, you know, to get us out of God's will, to get us to do something contrary to God's will and his purposes. And so as I began to think about it, I realized this wasn't God speaking. This was not God. This was the enemy coming with his lies, you know, to try to discourage me. Thank God I didn't buy it. So the more we pray, the more we build our relationship with God. Prayer gives God a legal right of passage into the earth.
That's right.
Did you know that? See, Adam and Eve, they gave up their God-given dominion that they had when they disobeyed God and went and eat from the tree of, you know, of good and evil, where that God said, don't eat from this tree. And when they did that, they fell into disobedience and sin, and Satan stole authority from them. He stole dominion. So when God wants to do something in the earth, we have to invite him in. Because see, God is a God of order. You know, he does everything in an orderly manner. And if God was just to barge in, I know this is probably foreign to some of you, especially, you know, if you're on Facebook and you've never heard this, but technically, Satan is the god of this world, small g, because he's an imposter. And so when we pray, we're living here in this earthly realm, aren't we? And we belong to God, we're his children. So when we cry out to him, he has to come where we are, doesn't he? And so, but when we pray, we're inviting God into where we are. You know, if I was just to come to one of your houses, just pretend you didn't know me, and I rang your doorbell and you opened the door and I just barged right in, I mean, you would call the cops, wouldn't you? I'm a stranger, you don't know who I am. But if you said come in and I come in, then I can't be accused of trespassing because you invited me in. And so when we pray, Satan cannot accuse God of trespassing. Amen. Because God's children, God's child, God's son, God's daughter invited him in. He's here by invitation. And so that's one of the reasons God will, God will put someone on our hearts to pray. You know, maybe that person is sick and they're depressed, they're going through a difficult time, and you know when you're going through stuff, sometimes you're so burdened and you're so discouraged, you don't have the energy to pray. You don't have no desire to pray. And God wants to help you. And so he'll put you on somebody's heart because he wants to come in. He wants to have an avenue into that person's life legally. And so our prayers can bridge that gap. Our prayers can help. That's why it's important for us to pray when God put people on our heart. I remember years ago, I was going to pick Petal up from kindergarten, and I was at the stop sign, and suddenly this girl from my church that I knew, she just came to my mind, and I sat there thinking, I hadn't seen her in a while. I wonder what's going on with her. Well, the next day I went to church, and the pastor announced that she was in an accident, and, you know, we should pray for her. And so later on that week, I visited her, and we were talking and everything. And I asked her, what time did your accident happen? And she said, around 12-ish. It was around the same time that I was at the stop sign. And God wanted me to pray for her. But I didn't know that I was supposed to pray when God brings somebody to your heart. What had happened, an 18-wheeler or something had ran her off the road, and her car, you know, was off the side of the road in a slope somewhere, and she had been there for hours, you know, going in and out of consciousness, and eventually some guy, I guess he saw the car and he went out of curiosity to see if this is a car that he can buy and salvage and, you know, and fix up to sell. And he was shocked to find that there was somebody in there. All right? Now, God wanted to help her. And he put her on my heart. But I didn't pray. I didn't know. I mean, now, of course, now I know. So he had to find someone else who probably prayed. You know, who knows how many people he had to go through.
That's right.
To get someone, you know, to get, send that man to see that woman in that car. She could have died. So you see, intercession is good. God uses us. We are his mouthpiece here. We're his hands and feet in the earth. And, you know, when God wants to do something, and, you know, and if that other person is not in the place where they're praying, in, you know, we can intercede for that person, and God will come in. I remember when I went home one time, and I on my return back to the into the country, I did something I shouldn't have done. I brought some seeds, some special peppers that I just had to have. And I figured, oh, these are just seeds. I'm going to sneak a couple in so I can plant and have my own thing. Well, I don't know if they saw something on the X-ray or what, but boy, they pulled my bags over and they went through it with a fine teeth comb. Well, when I came back, Patty asked me, she said, what was going on with you last Sunday about 12 o'clock? And I said, oh, I was going through immigration. And then she said, oh, well, Jody gave a word that God said that you guys should pray for me. And she went and she told pastors and they prayed. Let me tell you, I am so thankful for Jody's obedience, and I am so thankful for you guys praying for me, because had you not prayed, boy, my fat would have been in some fire. Because my husband had already warned me. Of course, I didn't listen. He said, don't bring stuff into the country, you know. It's a $500 fine, and, you know, of course, it went swoop over my... I'm thinking, yeah. Boy, you know, God was merciful, and he interceded. He had you guys to intercede for me. And as a result, I didn't have to pay no $500 fine. You know, and I was sharing it with Carol, and she said, don't do that no more. She didn't have to tell me twice. I sure hope nobody from immigration is listening. But you see how prayer works? You know, I was just minding my own business, going through customs, not thinking anything, and I had no idea of the trouble that was looming ahead. But God had, you know, his people to intercede for me and pull me out from the fire. I heard this quote, and I looked it up, and I think it's Billy Graham who said it. Nothing happens in this earth unless someone prays. Isn't that amazing? Nothing happens in this earth unless someone prayed. That's not Billy Graham. I don't know who said it. This is what Billy Graham said. I'm sorry. This is what Billy Graham said. Heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. I'm going to repeat that again. Heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one bothered to ask. Isn't that sad? Yeah. I heard about this guy who went to heaven, and the angel was giving him a tour, and he saw this huge warehouse that was loaded with stuff, gifts and body parts and all kinds of things for us here on earth. And he asked the angel, how come, you know, the people, they never got it? And the angel said, because they didn't ask. Well, you know what? When I heard that, I decided that warehouse isn't going to have nothing there for me that I didn't ask, because I'm asking. You know, this is my motto. This is just Jem's motto. It's nothing, I don't find it in the scripture. But this is the way I look at it. If you need something and you pray and you didn't get it, you didn't lose anything, because you didn't have it to begin with. But if you were going to get it and you didn't get it because you didn't pray, you're a loser. Does that make sense? So pray. You know, Brother Cole went home to be with the Lord a while now. He said we should pray about everything. Pray, 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 pray. And you know, that's what we need to do. We need to pray about everything. Just pray, because God will answer. He has, you know, he has answers for us. Mark 7:7 says, ask and ye shall receive. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when you what? Pray. Believe that ye receive and you'll have it. Jesus is saying this. We should pray. God wants to hear from us. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us stuff. He wants to reveal things to us. He wants to, you know, open doors for us. He wants to make certain connections. But he can't because we're not praying. The Church of God isn't praying. But I have to put this in. When we pray, make sure that our motives are pure. We don't want to be selfish, because that's a no-no. We're not going to get answers to our prayers. We must ask in accordance with God's will. Whatever we need, it must be in accordance with God's will. If it's apart from His will, it'll get us nowhere. Prayer is a decision. We're the ones who have to decide to pray. Each one of you here made a decision to be here tonight. You could have just said, oh, it's hot, it's raining, it might thunder, I'm not going. But you made a decision, you got dressed and you came. The same thing with prayer. We have to decide to pray. Our flesh doesn't want to do that. It would rather watch TV, some movie, or, you know, some sitcom, or do anything else but pray. See, the flesh is contrary to the spirit. But we're the ones who have to put the flesh under our feet. We're the ones who have to say, this is what we're going to do. We are going to pray. It's a decision. It doesn't happen automatically all the time. You know, sometimes we're sick, we're tired. You know, how many of you know, agree that it's hard to pray when you're tired? You can't think, you can't focus, you know, I'll just pray later. You know, and God is saying now, pray now. That's a decision that we have to make. We have to make that decision to crucify the flesh and, you know, and pray, talk to our God. The Bible said, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So we're, you know, the flesh doesn't want to do what is right. If, you know, if you're on a diet, and, you know, somebody, how are you fasting? Let's say you're fasting. How many of you know that's when you see all the food commercials, all the cookies and the ice cream and the, you know, or somebody, you're smelling something good and you just want to eat it, your flesh is, you know, come on, it's, you know, get a bite. But we have to, you know, put that flesh under control. No, we're not eating today. Or you're on a diet, you're not supposed to eat, you know, your cookies or, you know, ice cream or whatever. And that's the thing that you see the most. Or you have to go to the doctor and he said you have to fast, you know, for this time because, you know, you have to do this procedure and you can't eat. And boy, that's when you're hungry. And, you know, you want to eat, you want to drink everything. But you have to make that decision. No, I'm not going to eat. You know, this is going to mess up my test results. You know, the same thing goes with prayer. We have to crucify our flesh. For the flesh craves what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit to the flesh. They are opposed to each other. All right? But God has put us in charge. And we have to take charge and take, you know, and rule. Don't give in to the flesh. Don't give in to our cravings. Prayer is a fuel that adds Holy Ghost power to our life. It's a fuel. You know, when you're building a fire and it's struggling and you put some gasoline on there or some kerosene or something flammable, you know, you get the big blaze. I'm trying to move here as fast as I can. I want to read this. By the way, this is the book I was telling you guys about last week, A Life Ablaze. This is interesting. This is an interesting book. Every Christian should read this book by Rick Renner, A Life Ablaze. So I marked my place that I wanted to read just a little bit. If you really want to burn with the Holy Spirit and remain alive, vital, strong, and strong your entire life, you must make the decision to add the fuel of prayer to your life. See, prayer is a fuel. And we, you know, when our life is you know, it's not on fire for God. We find ourselves waning. Our zeal is not as, you know, prayer. That's the fuel that will fuel up our life. It's imperative that you make the quality decision to cultivate a passion for prayer. You won't always feel like praying, like I said. In fact, most of the time you won't want to pray, but prayer doesn't depend on your feelings. See, it's not a feeling thing. Because it is put into practice by a decision of your will, by the decision of our will. Your flesh will resist doing what, you know, what is right. Because it you know, it's contrary, it's the flesh. Okay? So, you know, and then on page, you know, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God wants us to call. He's telling us to call or to pray. Right? And he said he'll answer. That's a promise that he gave, and we can take God's promise to the bank. According to Jeremiah 33:3, if we will do our part in prayer, God will show great and mighty things that transcend natural understanding. God can do things that just boggles our imagination. Things that don't seem possible, It's amazing. When we call, when we pray, when we commune with God, God wants to do for us. He'll do. He is able, because he's the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to Ephesians 3:20. But it's not going to happen unless we pray. You know, we look at athletes and we see them winning in the Olympics, you know, gold and stuff, and, you know, they're breaking records and all that. And it looks easy, but we didn't see behind the scenes when they were practicing at 5 o'clock in the morning, when we were in our beds, you know, to get to where they're able to win that gold medal. When we do the work behind the scenes in prayer, we'll see the results. Other people will look and will probably get jealous, but unless they're willing to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock or 5:30 to pray, spend that time in prayer, give God, you know, those first hours of the day, they're not going to see God move in their lives. So prayer is important. The early Christians, they prayed. This is the last one. Bear with me, guys. I'm sorry. I'm always going over. Early Christians depended on the power of God, and they regularly called on him to move among them. As a result, they consistently experienced the power of God on a miraculous level, as the power of darkness was driven back. The darkness is not going to be driven back until the church starts praying. And I don't mean no wimpy, no I lay me down to sleep prayer. Uh-huh, you know, heartfelt prayer, uh-huh. Travailing prayer. Uh-huh. We'll see some things. We'll see the miracles, signs, and wonders that happened back in those days. They'll begin to happen now. As a result, they consistently experienced the power of God on a miraculous level as the power of darkness was driven back. Do you agree that there's darkness in our world today? We have to start praying, church. This explains why Samuel Chadwick wrote, I don't know who he is, but he said the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, or prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. That is something to consider. When we pray, we're fanning our spiritual flames into a fire while surrendering to God in everything, making it possible for God's will, God's purposes, and God's plans to be established not only in our lives, but in the lives of others and throughout the earth. Amen.
Amen.
I trust this has been a blessing to you all.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538 or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.